Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And I also welcome you all to this episode tonight. I am excited, as I do, because we are starting or continuing a new study from the book of Ezekiel. Now, this study will expound upon the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel, who is considered by many theologians as the gloom and doom prophet. He scolded both Judah and Israel constantly because of their disobedience against the laws of God. Now, many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled. The ones that haven't are yet still looming against Israel to this very day, more especially pertaining to the end of times, as it is revealed in the book of Revelations by John the Revelator, as also some call the apostle St. John the Divine. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, Bible apps, tablets, or even your regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, where you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Our host has graciously set up a chat room where you can go in and you can actually have dialogue with me during the show. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank you all out there who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So I thank you. I'm saying thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures that are on earth, but treasures that are in heaven. For where your hearts are, your treasure will be there also. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Now, the promise is that your treasures will be correct if you lay them up according to B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, and not according to the world. Jesus said again, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit." That's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 44. The promise is that if you want to be known for your fruit, then you must produce the good fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance that the Holy Spirit gives us, and not the corrupt fruit that we get in the world, like you might say pride and wrath and all of those fleshly works that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 22 in his writings. Jesus said again, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." Luke chapter 6, verse 30. So the promise is that if you want to be perfect, you have to be like Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by way of me." So, my brothers and sisters listening out there, the question for this hour again, are you standing on Jesus's promises? Now, before we get started, I want to mention that the Bible, I do this every time that we have our lesson, is because it's so important that you understand that the Bible is a mysterious book, and it's written in code, secrets, parables, prophecies, allegories, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that is what we're about in this program, to study together and learn together. Now let's go to the study. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. That'll be the first text that we'll look at tonight. Let me mention that there are 48 chapters in the book of Ezekiel, and I have written 98 instructions. So this is instruction number 5. And this is what the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Whatever God tells you to do, obey. Now, God tells us so much in basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. This is what he told Ezekiel, and that is our example. And it's chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. And this is what he told Ezekiel. "And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, neither are though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost well among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." Now this is the last verse, and this is what it says. "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be thou not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." He is telling the prophet Ezekiel to obey him, what he says, not what anyone else says. And don't worry about those others, whether they listen or they don't listen. Still, you preach the word of God in due season. And this is your season. And this is how it was put in Genesis. Turn with me now, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. And this is going to be an example that continues to illustrate obeying God's word. It's Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. And before we read it, it's time for our first break. So let's take our first break.
Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience means to comply with the law, an order or request, or to submit to another's authority. While sacrifice means to give up something that is precious or a jewel, something that you believe is worthy. But what we do in this world is sometimes we misunderstand that a sacrifice is not the same as being obedient. See, if we were obedient to the process of achieving a goal, see, if we were obedient to the process of being who we need to be, it would have never been viewed as a sacrifice, and confusion would have never taken place. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And when you're being obedient to what you need to be obedient to, whether that's being obedient to your school, being obedient to obtaining success, being obedient to achieving your goal, when you understand that you're being obedient, you're not sacrificing, what you're doing is you're releasing the notion to become a voluntary victim. You see, people who think that they sacrifice, what they tend to do is they tend to believe that they're giving up time with their family, that they're giving up sleep. But it's simply you following the blueprint of what you said you wanted to do. See, when you submit to another's authority, that's being obedient. See, for me, I want to be obedient to success, and success requires me to do certain things. It means that I have to stay up late. It means that sometimes I don't get to sleep as much as I want. I don't get to spend time with the people who I always want to spend time with, but I am not sacrificing. I am being obedient to the process. And you have to be obedient to the process. And before you start to become that volunteer victim that we talked about, understand that you are simply being obedient, and you're not sacrificing. There's only been one sacrifice that's ever been made to us here on earth, and that sacrifice came from the Savior. There's nothing that you can ever do to outweigh that sacrifice. And when you understand that that sacrifice that was made for you, obedience is something that you instead, you follow. Yourself to be a victim. Ask yourself, are you being obedient to the process of success, or are you simply sacrificing what you believe is a sacrifice? Because obedience is always greater than a sacrifice. With that being said, Sade Burrell, stand for something.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 5, and we're talking about whatever God tells you to do, obey. And now we're adding to what God told Ezekiel as an example, and now we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and this is what God told Abram. And this is what he said. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So this is what Abraham did in the long run, and now he is considered, if nothing else, the father of three established religions, the biggest religions in the world. Well, they are the three most prominent. I won't say the biggest, but Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Anyway, this is the comparison and agreeing with what the instruction is telling us to do. And we'll turn to Revelations. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelations chapter 10. And here is another example of obeying God and receiving benefits. Revelations chapter 10, verse 8 through 11. And this is what the Spirit speaking to the church says. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, in my belly it became bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. My brothers and sisters, today, this is what this means to us today, that we obey God's word. This is basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. And within the Bible, when we obey his words, it becomes to us sweet in the hearing of our ears. But when we share it with others, then we see that they are not necessarily receiving it. And that's when that bitterness comes in, my brothers and sisters. But we are supposed to continue to plant and water in the Lord's vineyard. And that is what this is telling us in the book of Revelations. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is the author and finisher of our faith anyway, and we cannot resist him. So, my precious brothers and sisters, what I'm saying for you to understand is whether or not you think you're not obeying the word of God, you are obeying his word. And the point that matters, if you obey cheerfully and not reluctantly, then that's when you receive the benefits of the obedience. Because God is in control of everything we do, whether it be good or evil. And remember, Solomon said it best in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, that God will bring into judgment every work, whether it be good or evil. And the work, you will be rewarded according to your work. And that's what Jesus tells us. And that tells us that obedience is the best route for us in order to receive the benefits from God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to Ezekiel, and we're going to look at the same, or this time we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 3. And we're going to be reading verse 1 through 4 in Ezekiel chapter 3. And this is the text that I want you to keep in mind as I read the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. God instructs Ezekiel. Again, we're talking from the book of Ezekiel. God gives us instructions. He gives everyone instructions in all of the 66 books of the Bible. We are going through each book, and we are looking at this particular instruction that he gave to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. This is what God told Ezekiel. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and to fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. This is what Ezekiel was told to do, and that is read or obey the word of God, that he is telling you what to do, and you are to perform it. And this is what exemplifies that. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. Turn your Bible sources with me to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be looking at several verses. Verse 6 tells this. Moreover, he said to Abraham, or to Moses, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. In verse 10 through 14 gives the completion of the thought, meaning this is the instruction that Abraham or Moses received from God. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God said to him, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children, the people of, brought forth my people out of Egypt, and you shall serve God upon this mountain. So again, God is giving Moses instruction. And like I mentioned earlier, that we're talking basically from the book of Ezekiel, but I'm emphasizing that instruction with other parts of the Bible that instructions were given. Now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelations, chapter 1, and I want you to look at, for comparison and agreeing with what John the Revelator received, what instructions he received in Revelations chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 17 through 20. And this is more pertinent to us today. This is what Revelation says. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the instruction is to us today from John, the Revelator, and it's in the book of Revelations. And this is the instruction, 17 through 20. This is one of the instructions. Now, we know that there are many others, but this is the one that I've chosen. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which thou are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This is the instruction, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. This is the instruction that he gave to John to give to us. And I see we're at our second break. After we finish our second break, I'll tell you what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Let's take a break.
Into, but I'm breaking into somebody's prayer saying, Lord, why do I keep going through the same things over and over again? I go to church now, I tithe now, I shout now, I leap now, and the Lord sent me here to tell you it's no problem with your sentence, the problem is with your default. Until you change your default, you will always go back to being who you were before, because you have never changed your mind. The devil can't do just anything to you. People can't do just anything to you. Life can't do just anything to you. I don't care how little you are, there is nothing as powerful as a change. Lock somebody and tell them, I changed my mind. As long as you're programmed with what you can't do and what you can't be and what you can't have, you will never get up. But I dare you to go into your phone booth like Clark Kent and spin around and come out Superman and say, wait a minute, I'm better than this. I'm getting ready to change my default setting. I will not die crackhead. I will not let you abuse me. I will not say there is nothing as powerful. The prodigal son was in the hog pen, surrounded by the swine, about to eat that the pigs ate. And all of a sudden, the Bible said he came to himself. He didn't change his clothes. He didn't change anything else. All he did was change his mind. The pigs couldn't hold him. The pen couldn't hold him. The disgrace couldn't hold him. The embarrassment couldn't hold him. I dare you to change your...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete instruction number 6. Remember, God gave instructions to Ezekiel, and we read those, and we found out exactly some other instructions that he gave to Moses, and also that he gave to John the Revelator to give to us. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is critical to our relationship with God. That is the culmination of all of what we need to please God and to save our souls. And that's what I want to leave you with in that instruction. Let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 7. Turn back again to Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to get another instruction out of Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verse 10, verse 11, and verse 27 in Ezekiel chapter 3. And what I want you to do is pay this attention and get this from the reading of the verses. This is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to. We must plant and water only. My precious brothers and sisters, that is critical. We get tied up in increase, planting and watering, and we expect something to increase from that planting and watering. That is not what we're required to do. We are required to plant and water regardless of the increase. Remember earlier we just read about the instructions that God gave to Ezekiel to obey. And he said, even though the people will listen or not listen, you are to complete the instruction. And that's what we're looking at. So we're going to read Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I have spake to you unto thee, receive in thy heart and hear with thy ears." And verse 11 continues, "And go, get thee to them of captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear." And 27 completes the thought when it says, "But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbear, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house." What he's telling Ezekiel is that you do the planting and the watering, and I will cause the increase. That's what he's talking about. And to add emphasis to that, turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah chapter 6 is going to give us verses 8 through 10 more of an understanding of planting and watering. Isaiah chapter 6, this is what God told the prophet Isaiah. And this is what it reads. Chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. Chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. It says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their ears, or shut their eyes, lest they see with their ears, and hear with their eyes, and understand with their hearts, and convert, and be healed." What Isaiah is told to do, you go and you plant and water, and if they are worthy, they will convert, and I will heal them. That is what Isaiah was told. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to compare and agree with what we just read. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. This is what Paul says more explicitly, my brothers and sisters. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. There it is, my brothers and sisters. Our job is to plant and water, and God will give the increase. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that as dressers of God's garden and fishers of men, we must not falter in our labor, regardless of who responds or not. That is key, that as long as that we're this side of eternity, we must do as the commission by Jesus gave us, to go out into all nations, teach and preach, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Whether the people will respond accordingly is not our call. We must plant and water. And that's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Let's go now to the next instruction. We're going in instruction number 8. And we're going to turn back to Ezekiel chapter 17 and see further what God is instructing Ezekiel to do. Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 17 through 21. And this is the particular instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. If you do not respond to God's calling, then this could be the result. If you're not obedient, if you are disobedient, you can look for judgment. And you know within judgment is not only correction and discipline, but it's also punishment, and it could even be destruction. Listen to what was told Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt deliver thy own soul. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require of thy head. And to conclude the thought, or what the instruction God has given Ezekiel, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous man sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. So what this is telling us is that regardless of whether or not the response is favorable in your sight, you must deliver the message from God. If not, you will be held accountable. And that is what God is telling Ezekiel. Okay, I see we're at another break. Let's take the break, and then we'll continue with our instruction.
Everybody wants the prize, but nobody loves the process. Everybody wants to be a champion, but nobody's willing to put in the work that it takes to be a champion. Everybody wants to hold up the trophy and say, man, I did it, but nobody's willing to put in the work that it takes to do it. I love the process. I love the thought of working for what I want. And I firmly believe you're never supposed to wish for it more than you're willing to work for it. Your expectations never supposed to exceed your efforts. But a lot of people, they wish, and they're not willing to work. And the great thing about life has a funny way of testing all of us and seeing how bad we really want what it is that we say we want.
What if you get weak along the way and you're throwing a towel on yourself, you surrender to your emotions? What then? A lot of people become discouraged, they become frustrated, and they say, oh, what the heck? And they go back to doing what they were doing before, saying it doesn't work.
Take quitting out your vocabulary. Take it out. Cry if you must. Rest if you must. But the worst thing you can do is quit. When you want something bad, you can't count the cost. Because if you count the cost and you see how much it costs, you might give up. So you got to go in knowing that I don't count the cost. I do as many reps as it takes. I study as long as it takes. I pay whatever the price is. You get to a point where you don't count it. You just do whatever it takes to get whatever you want.
Put yourself in a position where you can't retreat, where it's do or die, sink or swim. Here's what you'll find out. You'll develop incredible swimming skills. You'll find yourself stroking unlike you've ever seen before. Through the inspiration of desperation, you'll become more creative than ever before. Throw your whole self into it. So as we look at the future, we can decide that from this day forward, as I look at all the dimensions of my life, looking at myself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I'm going to do all I can do to develop me.
When you leave, what you fighting for? What's your legacy? What you gonna do? You say you a champ, but do you practice like a champ? You say you a champ, do you fight like a champ? You say you a champ, do you have the mentality of a champ?
The universe responds to the man or woman that refuses to be denied. You've got to be willing to stand there and face disappointment, not have support, doubt yourself sometimes, be rejected again and again and again, and refuse to turn around until life gives it up. Nothing can resist a person that has that kind of commitment.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with instruction number 8. If you do not respond to God's calling, then this could be the result. Now if God is instructing you to do something, if you do not respond accordingly, as Ezekiel was told, it could be critical in your life. Now we're going to go to amplify that in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is what Israel was rehearsed by Moses. And it shows the enormity of what could happen if you do not follow God's instruction. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 through 20. And this is what Moses told Israel. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall be upon you and overtake you. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land. Cursed shall be when you come in, and cursed shall be when you go out. The Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. You see what Israel was told? That is going to result in total destruction if you do not obey the word of God. And now we're going to go to Luke, and we're going to see in Luke chapter 13, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 13, how verse 34 and 35 and 28, Jesus tells us about the same. Luke chapter 13. Verse 34, this is what Jesus said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, and ye would not believe. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time which comes when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You can see right there that not obeying Jesus' word, Israel was subjected to total loss. In fact, this is what verse 28 says to conclude the thought. there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. That is significant. That's why we must obey the word of God. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that sin is the result, and your judgment could be your destruction. Not obeying the word of God could cause your total obliteration. My brothers and sisters, that should be worthy of note. Now let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 4. Ezekiel chapter 4 this time, we're going to be reading verse 1 through 3. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. Beware of the signs of the times. Now we know that there have been signs of the times from day one up until today in the 22nd century. But my brothers and sisters, this is an example, and this is what Ezekiel faced in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 3, 1 through 3. This is what God told Ezekiel. Thou also, son of man, a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the clamp also against it, and set battering rams around against it. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pad, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall besiege the city, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. This is that sign at that time that the prophet Ezekiel was supposed to give to Israel, that let them know that they were disobedient and would suffer the consequences. Let's go to Genesis to amplify what we just read to give another example. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, and listen to what Abraham was told and what happened to the people that disobeyed. Genesis chapter 19, verse 12. Genesis chapter 19, verse 12. This is what it says. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? He said, son-in-law, and my sons and daughters. And he said, whosoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. That's what the angel said. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord for their disobedience, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Verse 17 adds to this, and it says, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plains except to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And verse 26 gives the concluding thought of beware of the signs. But his wife looked back and from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. That is so significant to know the signs of the times. Jesus told us, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to get a comparison and an agreement with that. Matthew chapter 24. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 4 in Matthew chapter 24. And then we're going to look at a few other verses, and this is what Jesus says about the end times. These are the signs that we should be responding to today, my precious brothers and sisters. Verse 4 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Now we're going to go to verse 37 through 39, and it completes the thought. It says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in those days there were, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And no, not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And this is the concluding thought. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord cometh. That is what the sign of the time is for us. We need to watch and to ensure that what the Bible is telling us does not catch us asleep or catch us doing things other than preparing ourselves for the kingdom of God. Now, I see we're at the last break for the night. Let's take that break, and then we'll conclude the lesson.
I want to explain to you the difference between iniquity and transgression. And they're both sin, but you need to know that there is a difference. And I want you to understand, hopefully you write this down. This is very important to understand because it'll help you understand some things about how we miss the mark. Iniquity is inward motivation. It is the inward motivation that will drive us towards sin. Transgression is the outward movement. Iniquity, the inward motivation. Again, I'm trying to use motivation and movement, words that begin with the same letter to help us remember. Inward motivation, transgression is the outward movement. The word transgress, we don't use it much in English. Our English word that would be closest to it would be trespass. The word transgress means to step over a boundary. Trespass, step over a boundary, okay? So it's the inward motivation, iniquity, transgression, outward movement. Let me give you some more analogies. Iniquity is the heart. Transgression is the hand. Another analogy, iniquity is the attitude. It's on the inside. Transgression is the action. It's on the outside. I was talking to one of my sons this last week about this message, and I was explaining this iniquity and transgression, and my son actually said, oh, this would be like lust and adultery. And I said, that's exactly right. That is exactly the analogy that I want you to understand the truth. Lust is in the heart, and adultery then is the transgression of that. Now listen to me. Again, they're both sin, because you have to understand that they're both sin, because the Pharisees had begun to promote an ideology that as long as you didn't transgress, it wasn't sin. And they'd come up with all these little teachings about it, actually. In essence, like when it comes to lust, it was okay to window shop. That's kind of what the Pharisees were promoting. Jesus shows up on the scene and says, nope, it's not okay. And you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, now you know the law says not to transgress, not to commit adultery. But I say to you that if you lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. If it's in your heart, you've already transgressed God's ways. And then he says, you know, you've heard not to murder. Don't transgress by murder. But I tell you, if you hate your brother, you've already murdered him. So he's trying to let them know, listen, iniquity is sin also. It's transgressing God's ways. I told you what the word transgression means. Let me tell you what the word iniquity means. And this is a very easy way to remember iniquity. Literally, from the Hebrew, this would be the best translation of it. Iniquity is the same as inequity. Inequity. Iniquity, inequity. It is when we are not equitable, equal with God's holiness. Anything that does not equal God's holiness is iniquity or inequitable. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let me show you again. I absolutely love the Bible. You know I do. I know you love the Bible. The Bible's perfect. It is perfect. And I'm going to show you a verse that shows it's perfect. Remember, iniquity is on the inside. It's inward. Transgression is outward. So in Isaiah 53, this messianic chapter, let me just show you. Watch how perfect the Bible is. Iniquity, inward. Transgression, outward. Watch this verse, Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded, talking about Jesus, wounded, that's outwardly, for our transgressions. He was bruised, that's on the inside, for our iniquities. Isn't that good? See, a bruise is inward bleeding. It's perfect. Jesus was the perfect atonement, the perfect sacrifice. Okay.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were on instruction number 9, beware of the signs of the times. And we read exactly what told us about watching and not subscribing to what is going on in the world today. Be prepared for his return for us. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually. It should mean that we are in the end times, and we must always be prepared for Christ's return. That is key. That's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Okay, now let's go back to the final instruction for this evening. Turn back with me to Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 4 again. We're going to be looking at several verses, 4 through 8 and 12 through 15. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. We're going to be focusing on Ezekiel made to bear Israel's iniquity. And you know that Jesus was made to bear our iniquity, all the world's iniquity. Now, in this time, the prophet Ezekiel, with Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem in captivity in Babylon, this is what God had him do. And this is what it says in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. It says, lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore, thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thy arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy again against it. Then it completes the command that God gave to Ezekiel in at verse 12 through 15 in chapter 4. Verse 12 says, and thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of the man in thy sight. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said Ezekiel to the Lord God Almighty, O Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up till now I have not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came from abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto him, the Lord said, lo, I have given thee cow dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Now what God has commanded Ezekiel to do is to take on the iniquity of Israel. And so now we're going to go to before we go to Matthew, let's look at another instance in Isaiah where God also told this prophet to do likewise, not necessarily or exactly as he told Ezekiel, but this is what he told Isaiah to do in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, this is what he told Isaiah. And Isaiah is prophesying to Israel. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we shall esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So we know that Isaiah is pointing to Jesus in this prophecy, and that is part of what I'm telling or sharing with you that Ezekiel, he was actually held to being to suffer for the sins of Israel. And Jesus is going to be the one, or is the one, that suffers for the sins of the world. And this is how Isaiah or Matthew says it in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 39. And this is the example. This is what it said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will be done. So you can see where Jesus Christ was suffering for mankind in the garden, and that's where it began, as far as the physical suffering. And then, of course, he went to the cross. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that today we individually must bear our own inequities for the workings of our flesh. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters, to know that we must work out our own soul salvations in fear and with trembling. And as I mentioned earlier in the lesson, that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, that Solomon said that we will be judged every work, whether it be good or whether it be evil, and we will be held accountable, and we will be rewarded according to that work. And we know that in Revelations, it tells us in the book of Revelations that that is so significant. Revelations chapter 21, or I should say Revelations chapter 20, it tells us at the great white throne of judgment that the books will be opened, and we will be held according to everything that we've done in the body. And those who have done well will receive salvation. Those who have not done well will go into the lake of fire. That is so significant. That concludes our lesson for this evening. And as we get ready to close, I would like to tell you, my listening audience, we, the host and I, thank you and bless you for your participation and your encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I hope you are blessed by our program. Join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Good night.